Amen. God bless you, preacher. Amen. Well, it's a joy to be back in the tabernacle tonight. And good to see each one of you, and I trust you've had a good day today and enjoyed the meeting thus far. It's been good. The Lord's blessed us and helped us. I learned a long time ago, unless the Lord does something, there won't be nothing done. Praise God. But I appreciate the Lord helping us, and like he has, and I pray that the Lord will continue to do that this week. This is a little bit unusual meeting for me. Most of the meetings I do run no longer than 5 days, and so this is a little bit longer. And you know what? You got to stretch them 3 good messages you got out, praise God, when you're in a meeting like this right here. Amen. And some of y'all laughing about that, praise God. But anyway, a lot of preachers only got 3 messages. They got a lot of titles, though, they use for them, praise God. If you just change the title no more than they pay attention in these days, praise God, you can preach for about 10 years in one place, amen. Amen. But anyway, it's a blessing to be here. I see folks are in South Carolina like they are in Tennessee, praise God. But anyway, it's a joy to be here. I appreciate your hospitality to us. And I wasn't exactly sure how East Tennessee Mountain preaching would be received in South Carolina. But praise God, thus far, the Lord's been good to us. And it seemed like my kind of folks. Praise God, just country folk love God. And I like city folk that love God, too. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, I appreciate the Lord and appreciate all of his goodness. Good to have some friends. Brother Randy Hebner, preacher friend from ours from up in Maiden, North Carolina, from out of the Providence Road Baptist Church. Brother Charles Worley is his pastor, came down to be with us. And then this brother here came almost 3 hours. Y'all drove almost 3 hours. Well, he said he had some ladies with him. He said it's about 2.5 hours, he said, but with the ladies trying to get all them together, it's 3 hours, he said. Praise the Lord, and what a good distance they've come. And what part of South Carolina are you from, brother? North, 40 mile east of Charlotte, from North Carolina. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, God bless you. Thank you for coming, and I appreciate the Lord. If you have your Bible, turn with us to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Acts chapter number 16. And I want to read just a few verses, a very familiar story in the Word of God. And I hope I'll be a blessing and a help to you tonight from the Word of God. If you're able, let's stand as we read the Word of God tonight. Acts chapter number 16. The scene that I'm reading is, of course, the Apostle Paul and Silas. They've come here. Matter of fact, they've come to Macedonia. Paul has had his first convert there, the woman by the name of Lydia, seller of purple. And Paul here in the scripture that I'm getting ready to read, in verse number 16, it says this, "And it came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days, but Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee, in the name of Jesus Christ, to come out of her. And he came out the same hour, and when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers, and brought them to the magistrates, saying, These men, being Jews, do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Father, we thank you tonight for the reading of your word. And Lord, we pray tonight, would you touch us with your spirit tonight, God. Without the aid of the spirit, God, we cannot preach. And Father, I pray that tonight you'd take your word to the hearts of your people. Lord, I pray may we have receptive hearts to your word tonight. And God, may it find a lodging place and bring forth fruit in our lives. Father, you know the varying needs and the varying troubles and the varying burdens that are here tonight. God, I pray that tonight, by your word and by your spirit, God, would you help somebody in this place? And Father, we thank you now for all you've done. Thank you for what you're going to do. In the name of Jesus, we pray and we ask it. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Here in the scene that I've read, a very familiar story in the Word of God concerning Paul and Silas being thrown in jail. No doubt you've heard many messages down through the years on this very passage of Scripture, a very unusual event that took place in the lives of these men of God. Here they are in a place and they're preaching, and all of a sudden a woman comes into the meeting that don't have the right kind of spirit. Amen. Just because somebody shows up at a church meeting don't mean that they've got the right spirit. Amen. The Bible said she was possessed with a spirit of divination. And the Bible said that she followed Paul many days and became, I guess, an aggravation to him. And the Bible said Paul cast the spirit out of her. And when those that had been making merchandise and money off of her saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they got angry about that. And they started stirring up some things against the man of God. And here the Bible said this. They came, brought them before the magistrates. And they said, these fellows are teaching customs that we're not to observe. And they're doing all kinds of things. And the Bible said that they took these men of God and they beat them. The Bible said they put many stripes upon them, and they commanded to cast them into prison. As I was reading this one day, I really began to focus on this one phrase. The Bible said that when the jailer was given the charge of putting them in the prison, the Bible said he thrust them into the inner prison. Now, if you study in the Word of God and you know anything about it, it's not like our jails today. Back in the Bible days, many times the inner prison was the part of the jail that was on the innermost part, and many times it was a pit that was in the floor. It was a hole in the ground that they would put those prisoners down in there, the hardened criminals. They'd put them in there and they'd cover them up where there's no fresh air, where there's no light, where they just put them in there as a place to really work them over real good. And here's two men of God. Can you picture Paul and Silas? They've been stripped off publicly. And they've been beaten with many stripes. And now all of a sudden the Bible said that they've thrown them in the hole, if you will. They're down in the inner prison. And I'm telling you what, if there's ever a time to be discouraged in your ministry, it's when all of that's happened, amen? But the Bible said that Paul and Silas did something that ought to inspire every one of us, that when negative things come our way and bad things happen in our lives, Paul and Silas ought to inspire every one of us, that in the midnight hour, the Bible said, they begin to pray and sing praises unto God. Amen. I know a lot of Baptist folk can't sing a song on a church pew on Sunday morning, let alone sing one out of a hole in a dark prison at the midnight hour. But thank God there's some that's got the goods on the inside, that whether you're on the mountaintop or whether you're in the valley, praise God, it'll come forth in your life.
Begin to think about that phrase, the inner prison. Do you realize tonight there are people that walked under this tabernacle? You did not come in with chains on your ankles. You didn't come in with an issued uniform of the local jail. Many of you tonight, I saw nobody tonight wearing handcuffs when you came underneath the tabernacle. But there may be somebody here tonight that you are bound by an inner prison. I'm talking about something on the inside of you that's got you bound. I'll tell you one thing right now. As a child of God, if you're not careful, the devil will do his best. Matter of fact, a brother sitting over here, I wrote this little note down in my Bible. First of all, the devil beat him up. And I promise you, in these days, he's doing a good job of beating up God's people. He then proceeded to lock them up. I tell you, he wants to do that to every one of us, but thank God he didn't shut them up. Amen. Aren't you glad? Praise God. Hey, the devil may try to work you over. He may try to get you down in defeat, but praise God, our victory is in our praise tonight. Our victory is in our testimony for God. Amen. I'm preaching on this simple thought tonight, if I could please, on breaking free from your inner prison. There's some people here tonight who need a jailbreak in their life. I'm telling you one thing right now, the devil will like to put you in that inner prison. I begin to think about what the inner prison means. First of all, it was a place of intimidation. They didn't put everybody in the inner prison. They just wanted to put those there that they wanted to prove a point to. I got news for you. The devil's a bully tonight. He wants to rake you over the coals. He wants to get you so discouraged you can't hold your head up. He's using every weapon, every power that he has in these last days. And he wants to bind you up and lock you up and get you to the point that you can't praise God. I got news for you. Praise God. Let him intimidate all he wants to. I've got one on my side. The Bible said, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. I'm glad I've got one fighting my battles tonight. Amen. And his name is Jesus. Amen. The inner prison, a place of intimidation. Not all the prisoners were in the inner prison. Only two of them. Not only that, it was a place of isolation. You know what they wanted to do to Paul and Silas? They wanted to make them feel like they was all alone. Can you picture these two? I'm just in my mind's eye. I can picture these two old boys. They've been beat up and they're down in the dark. It's midnight. The Bible said, matter of fact, when the jailhouse shook, they called for a light. There wasn't no light in the jail. They're down there in the hole in the dark. I'm talking about if you've ever felt alone, you better believe you're feeling it. The Bible said not only, I'm talking about it's a place of intimidation, but I'll tell you one thing right now, down there is a place of isolation. They wanted them to think nobody knew where they were at. Nobody cared where they were at. And that's exactly what the devil's trying to do to God's people today. He wants to get you to thinking you're all alone and nobody cares. But I got news for you, praise God. There's a God that's got you on his radar. There's a God that knows exactly what you're going through. He knows what you're facing tonight. Thank God, I'm glad he'll help you break free from your inner prison. Amen. It was a place of isolation. And it was a place of immobilization. What do you mean by that? The Bible said their feet were fast in the stocks. Now, it didn't say they had handcuffs on. There's some symbolism here. What does the Bible say about how beautiful are the feet of those that bring the good tidings and the good news of Jesus Christ. You know what the devil was saying to Paul and Silas, big boy? We're stopping you dead in your tracks. You ain't moving no more. That's exactly what the devil's done to most of God's people today. Got them to the place they can't move. Got them to the place they won't respond to the word of God. Got them locked up and beat up and discouraged and depressed when all the while God's wanting to fling the prison doors open and he's wanting to help you have joy and victory in your life. Amen. I had a dear precious lady. She comes and attends our church some on Sunday morning. And she called me one day, and her family, they've had a lot of problems, and she was just calling, asking me to pray for some situations, and of course I told her I would. And this lady said something to me that day when she called me. I've never had anybody in all of my years of ministry, I've never had anybody ask me what she asked me. I was talking to her that day, and I was sympathetic to her needs and her problems, and I said, I'm certainly going to pray for everything you've mentioned. Before she hung up, she said, Preacher, I need to tell you something. I said, what's that? She said, every Sunday when you preach, you always give the invitation and folks come to the altar. And she said, you give the invitation, they come to the altar. She said, you always pray something to this effect. You always pray, Lord, pray and bless those that should have come to the altar that didn't come to the altar. She said, Preacher, every Sunday you pray that, you're praying that about me. I said, you got to be kidding me. She said, no, Preacher. But she said, let me tell you something. She said, I know I need to move. She said, Preacher, I want to move. But she said, Preacher, there's sometimes, she broke down crying. She said, there's sometimes, she said, I wonder if I could make it all the way to the altar with the load that I'm carrying. And this is what she asked me. She said, Preacher, and she was as sincere as she could be. She said, Preacher, one Sunday, if the Lord was to touch your heart in the service, do you think you could come back to where I'm sitting and help me get to the altar? I never had nobody ask me nothing like that. I said, Cecil, I'll tell you one thing. I'll do exactly what the Lord tells me to do. And if God touches my heart, she said, Preacher, I don't think I can make it to the altar by myself. She said, I don't think I can make it all the way to the altar. I said, well, let me tell you something. If God touches my heart, we were in a service a couple of weeks after that, and it was on a Sunday morning, and God broke into the service, and people, we was just singing, and folks started coming to the altar. And the altars were filling up, and the choir singing, and I've not even got to preach yet. And man, I'm looking back there, and people are weeping, people are praising God, people getting things right. And I look back there, and she's standing near the back, and tears just streaming down her face. And I began to pray. I said, God, is today, do you want me to help this woman today? God, if you want me to do it, I'll do it. But I don't want to do anything that you don't want me to. And about the time I said that prayer, I looked up and here she come down the side, and she didn't make it all the way to the altar. She fell on her knees about three quarters of the way in the aisle just a weeping. And I looked at some of our ladies. I said, ladies, I said, sister over here, she didn't make it all the way to the altar, but that don't mean that God can't make it where she's at. Amen. And they gathered around that lady that day and they began to pray. And I tell you what, the glory and the power of God fell on that place. In a few minutes, she stood to her feet with a smile on her face, tears streaming down her face. She said, thank God, Preacher, I got some help today. I got news for you right now. I'm glad there's a God. Hallelujah. When the devil tries to isolate you and intimidate you and immobilize you, there's a God that can set you free. And I'm glad he'll give you freedom in your service. Amen. Say, Preacher, what was it about the inner prison? Paul and Silas found three things in the inner prison. Number one, they found an inner strength in the inner prison. Some of you all right now, if I was to ask you how strong you are spiritually and how much you think you can endure as far as a trial, some of you might say, well, I'm pretty strong. I believe I can handle quite a bit. And then there might be some of you sitting here tonight would say, you know what? As weak as I feel, I don't think I can handle much of a storm. But the thing about the spiritual strength is this. You don't really know how much you got till you need it. That means sometimes you don't feel too strong in your Christian experience. Half of the time, as a preacher, I feel about like I'm the weakest one at the house of God. There's times I go to the house of God and I say, Lord, everybody there's more spiritual than I am tonight. And I feel so weak. But let me tell you something right now. I don't feel like I can handle anything. But let me tell you something. When they beat you up, strip you off, and throw you down in the dark, you're going to find out that there's a strength inside you you that you didn't know you had, amen. And it comes when you need it the most, amen. When the hour is the darkest is when that inner strength rises up, amen. Hallelujah to his name. Thank God, I'm glad that he'll give you the strength to go through your trials, to go through your heartaches. He'll give you the inner strength in your inner prison. They found an inner strength in the inner prison. They found an inner song in the inner prison. What do you mean an inner song, preacher? The Bible said they sang. Now my King James Bible don't say anything about Paul having a songbook with him when he got arrested. I didn't hear him sitting in the cell in the dark saying, "All right, Silas, turn to page 92. Because they didn't have no songbook with them. They've been preaching and they're out there. You know where the song came from? Inside. The sweetest songs you'll ever have in your life are those that come in the midnight hour when the devil's just about done you in, and all of a sudden the only thing that comes out of you is what God's put in you, amen. And you start singing. I could hear them old boys, and they're down there at midnight. Old Paul says, "Silas, what do you think we ought to do? Let's sing a song, Paul." And about that time, them other prisoners heard them. Can you imagine that crowd? Some of them prisoners trying to go to sleep. All of a sudden, out of the hole, you can hear that noise of these two fellas. They're down in the hole in the dark singing. I don't know what they're singing. It don't really matter to me what they're singing. All I know is this. There wasn't nobody there with a projector putting words on the wall. They didn't have to look at a songbook and worry if they're going to get emotional in the song, amen. There was something came out of them, amen, that was pure praise to a holy God. I'm glad you'll find your inner song when you find your inner prison, amen. A few years ago, I was facing some battles, and I face a lot of battles. If you listen to me preach about every night, I tell you about a little while back or a few years ago, I was facing battles. I fight a lot of battles. I don't know why I do. I really don't. Because I don't feel like I've done enough against the devil to even make him mad. But apparently I have. I was going through some difficulties, and it's one of them days I just felt so discouraged. And I was so defeated, and the old enemy came by that day at the house. I was there by myself. And he said, "You know, you really ought to just, won't you quit what you're doing? And what are you doing this for? And why do you keep doing this? And why are you just wearing yourself out?" And asked me all these questions. And that day, that inner song started coming out of me. I didn't really answer him verbally that day. I just walked over to the piano and I always love an opportunity to try to write a new song. I really do. I mean, sometimes, in some ways, I'm so thrilled when them dark times come, because sometimes the sweetest songs come out of your inner prison moments. And that day I sat down to piano, and it was almost like I was answering the devil, and I wrote these words. "Some people, they question why I serve the Lord. What I've missed since Jesus came in. They say I'm not with it, that I'm missing out on this world and the pleasures of sin. But I'd like to tell them that I'm saved with no doubt, since Jesus took away all my shame. And if I could change it, I surely would not. I'd do it all over again. Sometimes when I'm facing the trials of this life, oh, Satan says, won't you resign? Just lay down your armor, don't mention his name, and I'll give you everything you desire. Then I get to thinking what the Lord's done for me. Pick me up, put his joy deep within. I forever miss that eternal fire. Praise God, I do. Do it again. I'd do it all over again. Trade a life filled with sorrow and the sadness of sin for a life that's eternal where joy's never end. I'd do it all over again." Hallelujah! I'm glad that in the middle of your prison time, I'm glad there's a sweet inner song that'll come forth. Amen. It was an inner strength. They found an inner strength in there. They found an inner song, and in the inner prison, they found an inner summit. What do you mean by that, preacher? In this scene that Paul and Silas are in, they're at the lowest point in this story. I mean, it's a low point when they strip you off publicly. It's a low point when they beat you with many stripes. It's a low point when they throw you in jail for nothing. But it's a real low point when you find yourself in a hole, in the dark, and nobody knows where you're at. But can I say to you, what happened to Paul and Silas can only happen to Christian people. Their low point turned into a mountaintop. I mean, you think about this. Do you think that years later, as Paul and Silas are sitting around talking about, you remember, I could just hear Silas say, Paul, you remember when we were down in jail down there and they threw us down in jail, that low point of our ministry? Do you think looking back they looked at it as a low point? No, I have a feeling Paul said, you remember that day God shook the jailhouse, throwed the doors open, saved the Philippian jailer and his family. What the devil meant for a valley, amen. God turned it into a mountaintop. I'm glad, praise God, the lowest point of your life, there's a God that can put you on the mountain and you look back in hindsight and say it was a high point in my life, amen. They found an inner summit there. The inner preacher say, preacher, how in the world, I know how they got out of jail, but how am I going to break free from my inner prison? I give you these and I'm done. Number one, you're going to have some determination in the darkness. I can hear old Paul and Silas down in there talking. Matter of fact, they can't see each other. It's dark. I can hear old Paul say, Silas, you there? Yeah, Paul, I'm over here. He says, Paul, you hurt pretty bad? Yeah, Silas, he beat me pretty hard. How you feeling? Paul, he worked me over pretty good too. I can imagine if there's ever a day you want to consider a career change, it's when you've been wore out, dropped down in a hole, and that thought might have went through Silas's mind and said, you know, reckon we'll find something else to do, Paul. I mean, you reckon there's any future in this that we're doing right now? How many times has the devil told the preacher that, praise God? There ain't no future in what you're doing, praise God. What in the world are you doing? And about that time, I could hear old Paul say, ah, Silas, that's foolish thinking. Matter of fact, on the way down here, did you notice after he beat us and brought us down through here heading to the jail, did you notice that street corner up there on the corner said that'd be the best place to preach when we get out of here that you've ever seen, amen? You see, they wasn't thinking about quitting in the middle of their darkness. We're living in a day, it don't take much to get Baptist folk to quit. It don't take much of a little storm, I mean just a little thundercloud the devil send their way, and they're ready to go to the house. But I got news for you. These men had something in them that wouldn't let them quit. Hallelujah. I like that. They had determination in the darkness. I remember a few years ago I'd been in a revival meeting and I came home late one night. I'd come in. The family was all in the bed and I was winding down. And it was in the summer months and I was in the house and I got sleepy enough that I felt like I could go to sleep. So I was turning off the lights in the house, and I was walking down the hallway in our house in the dark. I mean, it's pitch dark, but my hallway, and I knew where I was going. I was headed to our bedroom, and as I was walking down the hallway in the pitch dark, all of a sudden there was a flash of light in front of my face. I thought I was seeing things. I said, what in the world was that? And then all of a sudden, it did it again, and I noticed there was a little old lightning bug had gotten the house. Y'all know what a lightning bug is, don't you? Now, if you're from up north, I have to clarify that when I tell this, because they don't know what lightning bugs are up north. I was preaching up Providence Road, and I told this illustration. And that night after the service, the little lady came up to me. She said, oh, preacher, I'm so glad you clarified that about the lightning bug. She said, I'm from Minnesota, and I didn't know what a lightning bug was. I said, well, if you're from up north, that's a firefly to you. But to us, it's a lightning bug. And that little old lightning bug was flash, flash, flash. And I got to watching him in that dark, and I got the biggest blessing walking down the hall in the dark. I said, you know that little old bug's in the same darkness I'm in, but it ain't bothering him near as much as it is me, because he's got the ability to create his own light. I said, he's got light in him. And then I got a real blessing when I got to thinking about when Jesus saved me, he put light in me. That's how you can explain it when you go to the hospital bed of some little saint of God that's body is racked with pain, and instead of you encouraging them, you leave having been encouraged, because the light of Jesus Christ shines forth in the darkest times. Hallelujah. I'm glad if we want to break free from our inner prison. Amen. I'm glad we got to have determination in the darkness. Let your light shine in the dark. Number two, you got to have understand this. You have a direct line to God in prayer. I can picture this. Now, this is modern day thinking here applied to this story, and I'm just using my imagination a little bit. But I can imagine Paul and Silas down there in the hole. And Silas says, Paul? Yeah, Silas, what's wrong? He said, did they read you your Miranda rights? You know, when they arrest you, they're supposed to read you have the right to remain silent, all of that. And Paul says, no, they didn't, Silas. Paul says, Silas, did they mention to you anything about that one phone call we're supposed to get? You say they did? You know, if they arrest you, they're supposed to, you're, by rights, you have the right to one phone call. And they said people today are having a real problem with that, because with the advent of cell phones, everybody's got numbers stored on their cell phone, but they won't let you use that. If you get arrested, you have to have a number memorized. Back used to, everybody had a phone number memorized in their head of somebody they could call. Now everybody uses a cell phone, they don't memorize numbers. So by the looks of some of y'all, y'all ought to memorize a number tonight of somebody that you could trust to come and get you all out of jail. And don't call your preacher, whatever you do. I mean, some of y'all really need to memorize a number. Just by the looks of you, amen. But you see, they didn't have no phone number they could call. But they realized, they said, you know what? We can call Jesus anytime. Amen. And the Bible said they called heaven, and heaven was home. And the Bible said that at midnight, as they began to pray, that the jailhouse, the foundations of the jail began to shake. I'm talking about the jailhouse rocked, and Elvis, nobody had never heard of Elvis yet. The Bible said this, that this is the most unusual earthquake that I've ever read about. Most time earthquake just tears buildings all to pieces, and I mean shatters everything. But this earthquake didn't do anything but open doors and loose chains. You talk about a funny earthquake. The Bible said, you know, back years ago when them supermarkets all started getting them automatic doors that opened, everybody just marveled at those things when they first started, you know. Just walk up and they just open up. Kind of like the old fella, I heard this one the other day about an old fella. He hadn't never been to, they hadn't been to town much, and they didn't go into the big city much. And they went into the first mall they'd ever been in. And the old fella had never seen an elevator. Didn't know what it was. Him and his little boy walked up, and there was this elevator there, and there was this elderly, stooped-over lady, wrinkled and just, you know, elderly up in years, and she walked up and pushed a button. All of a sudden, the doors opened up, and she walked on, and they just stood there and watched her, and the doors closed, and they watched as the lights went all the way up, ding, 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 all the way up. And then they started coming back down. And when it got back to the bottom, the doors opened, and there was a beautiful young lady walked off of the elevator. And when they did that, that old man looked at his boy and said, son, go get your mama. Praise God. Go get your mama. Praise God. I don't know what that is, but we're going to try it out on her. Amen. I mean, the doors just flung open there in the jail. Praise God. Aren't you glad that you're serving a God that can open doors when man can't? I'm glad, but praise God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? It was all because they understood they had a direct line to God in heaven. If you're going to get out of your inner prison, you're going to have to do it on your knees. Amen. You say, preacher, how else did they get out? And this is the last point, and I'll give you this. If you're going to break free from your inner prison, you're going to have to decide what you're going to focus on. You see, I can focus on you tonight because I can see you. I can see every one of you, and some I see better than others in the back, but I can focus on you because I can see you. But it's a funny thing about being in the dark. When you're in the pitch black darkness, you can't focus on anything. You have to decide what you're going to focus on. Because what you focus on is what's already programmed in your memory banks of what you've already seen. And so here they are in the dark, and they got to decide what they're going to think about. I mean, think about that. They could have chosen to say this, you know what? They could have sat in that cell in the dark and said, you know what? That fella was mean to me. And that fella, what he did to me wasn't right. And he'd hurt me in such a way that I don't think I'll ever get over it. And they could have sat right there in the cell and focused on the one that hurt them. Yeah. There's lots of Baptist folk doing that today. They're sitting at home focused on that one that hurt them. You wouldn't believe, preacher, what they did to me, what they said about me, what they, you know, why, preacher, if I told you half of it, you wouldn't believe it. Well, I got news for you. It'd probably get worse before it gets better, but I ain't letting a bunch like that stop me from serving the Lord. I like what one preacher friend, matter of fact, Brother Randy's pastor, Brother Charles Worley, he said the day he went to church to get saved, he said, I was so lost. He said, if the deacons had been in a fist fight in the front of the church when I pulled up, he said, I just waded through and said, boys, if you don't mind, let me through here. I got to get to Jesus. Amen. I don't know about you, praise God, but see, we can choose what we focus on. Here they are in the dark. And I don't know about you. It's tempting when trials come to focus on your trial. When troubles come, it's awful easy to obsess your mind with your trouble, when all the while the real way to get out of your trouble is to focus on the one that can help you in your trouble. And the Bible said, Paul said, well, Silas, I'll tell you what we'll do. I know we're hurting and it's dark. They've done us wrong. Let's just sing a little bit. And they begin to praise God. I found this to be true. You'll forget about what somebody done to you if you get your eyes on Jesus like you ought to. You'll quit worrying about that crowd and you'll just let Him take care of your battles. Let Him fight your problems. And I'm glad He'll do it. Some of you here tonight, you're bound up on the inside. You can't see the bars that's holding you. But the devil's done a good job of beating you up in mind, wearing you down, robbing you of your joy. I mean, the last time you testified, you can't hardly even remember it. Last time you really shed a tear that was genuine in a service, you can't hardly remember that. You know why? Because the devil's done throwed the padlock on you. Some of y'all used to move quite often. You ain't a moving like you one time did, because he's bound you in the inner prison. I got news for you tonight. You can have a jailbreak tonight. Amen. Jesus will set you free. Let's bow our head tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Some have already gathered here in this altar. And if you need to do that, you can be making your way to this place tonight. I want to ask you tonight, as we stand to our feet and heads bowed and eyes closed, I want to ask you tonight, are you here tonight? Has the devil done a good job of beating up on you? Has he buffeted your mind and wearied you in mind and spirit to the point that you don't have the joy that you one time had? Has he stopped you from moving and working and laboring and witnessing? Has he stopped you and put you dead in your tracks? Has he just worked you over and you thought, what's the use? Why try to keep going when all the while what you need to do tonight, just discover that inner strength that God's given you? It might be that God's bringing forth that inner song to be a blessing in your life. And it could be that God wants to turn this low spot into a high spot in your life. And I wonder how many more tonight would say, "Preacher, I feel the need of bowing here tonight. I've got a burden on me. My heart's heavy. Preacher, I just need God to help. Preacher, I need God to fling some doors open in my life. I need God to loose some chains, some things that's been binding me. I need help, preacher." That's right. You obey God tonight if He's speaking to you tonight as they're getting ready to sing. I want to ask anybody else tonight. I'd step out. I wouldn't let my neighbor hinder me in no way. Wouldn't worry about that. But I'd find myself here in this old-fashioned altar. If you came in here tonight carrying a heavy burden, you ought to bring it to Jesus tonight. You ought to be just like old Paul and Silas. You ought to sing in the midnight hour. You ought to just say, "God, here it is. This is my problem. This is what I need." And you ought to call on heaven tonight, because I'm glad heaven will hear you tonight. He'll help you tonight if you'll let Him. I wonder anybody else. That's right. That's right. God's speaking to your heart. You ought to step out tonight. I'm going to turn it over here in just a moment to one of the preachers. I tell you, God's speaking to hearts here tonight. He wants to help you tonight. He wants to loose you tonight. He wants to help you if you'll let Him tonight. I wonder anybody else. Father, we thank You for what You've done for us. Bless now in this invitation, Lord.